The head of Angarda Síochána's Security and Intelligence Bureau has said Russia is one of a small number of countries spying in Ireland. In a wide-ranging interview for this programme, Assistant Commissioner Michael McElgunn, who's in charge of the Garda unit responsible for state security, said they're particularly concerned about states that are involved in espionage here on foreign soil with malign intent. He's been speaking with our crime correspondent Paul Reynolds about the different threats to state security which Gardaí are monitoring.
So threats to a state come from a number of different sources, and there's a uniqueness to an Irish context. So one of them is, and one of the principal ones, is the threat from religiously motivated terrorism. The other one, which is the Irish specific issue, is Northern Ireland related terrorism. There are also threats from violent political extremism, be that on the far, and by far I mean extreme left or extreme right, and then threats from the activities of hostile state actors within a state.
So begin with the religious extremism, because that's the first one you mentioned. And this group, ISIS-K, which seems to have a presence in Ireland. Now, people might not be aware that this sort of extremism, this sort of Islamic extremism, remains a threat today.
Well, there are a number of groups broadly within that Daesh or Islamic State category. ISIS-K or ISK, Islamic State, Khorasan province, is one of those groups, and that's come to prominence in recent times because at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, they called for attacks in Europe.
What about here?
Well, we know that they have a presence in 17 or 18 European states, including Ireland. That said, our assessment in Ireland is that they are not focused on any attack in this state, but what they are interested in is supporting elsewhere through financing and assisting in financing these groups. I would say that in the last couple of years, we were successful in working with partners to prevent a significant player associated with ISK from relocating to this jurisdiction. So those international relationships and those partnerships are essential to our national security. So we're sort of as strong as the collective is in working together to ensure a wider security. A couple of years ago, we established in the Special Detective Unit, which is one of the four divisions under my command, a terrorist finance investigation unit. And that unit has been working very hard and has had some successes. So we've had four convictions before the courts for charges associated with terrorist financing. There are 14 other cases currently before the courts. There are 10 investigation files with the Director of Public Prosecutions for consideration, and we have about 25 other investigations at various stages of completion.
All those investigations relate to this particular group?
No, that's across a range of terrorist financing activities from all of the threat areas.
Well, we talk about the one that people might know the most or be most familiar with, distant republicanism and homegrown terrorism. We haven't heard much about that. Is this sort of far-left political extremism on the wane?
Well, it is. In this jurisdiction, the threat from Northern Ireland-related terrorism is assessed as relatively low. However, in Northern Ireland, that threat is assessed as substantial. And so we work very closely with the counterparts in Northern Ireland, I would say, on both the policing and security front. Our relationship with the PSNI and MI5 is second to none. So there is seamless working together in targeting individuals. And because of all of that, and because we work on a shared threat, our efforts here are commensurate with the threat in Northern Ireland as opposed to the threat in this jurisdiction from those groups.
That's the far left. What about the far right? That's the one that's most topical at the moment.
Yeah, well, I think starting point here is to sort of define what we mean by far right or far left. The violent political extremists can be on the left or the right. In both cases, they have a similar ideology and strategy. They want to create a divide in society. They want to polarize the state. So sometimes we can get drawn into referring to right-wing, left-wing and centralist. That's all the legitimate space. We, in fact, as a society, should encourage discussion in the legitimate space. The extremists want to draw people out of the legitimate space and put them into those extremist groups. There, you know, has since the economic crash, an emergence of certainly a right-wing ideology in Ireland, That was strengthened throughout COVID and throughout the lockdown and government measures. But the thing about the violent political extremists, as opposed to right-wing sentiment, is these are people who believe in the use of violence to obtain or to achieve their ideology. And that will include things like terrorism, yes, but then also things like arson, rioting behaviour. And we have seen elements of that, certainly on O'Connell Street. We've seen it in Coolock. We've seen it elsewhere in recent days in the United Kingdom as well.
So how big a threat is this? Because it's quite a visible threat. I mean, people are afraid to walk the streets of O'Connell Street after something like that. People are afraid to walk around Coolock. You have decent people in Coolock saying, mm-hmm. what's going on in our society?
Yeah, I think it's important to realise that not all of those who involve themselves in rioting behaviour have got a very well-articulated ideology or view. And I think some of the charges that emerged from the O'Connell Street episode certainly demonstrates that, you know, theft and looting, you know, these are more you know, self-fulfilling issues as opposed to... correct. And in both incidents, we've also seen individuals who want to get involved in an opportunity to have a go at the police, and they're not necessarily driven by any particular ideology. So there is a small group of people. These are the influencers. These are the extremists. These are the ones who want to create the divide in society. And they are enabled, I have to say, by social media. The way in which social media works has been a very valuable and useful tool for these individuals. And that is a rich breeding ground for the extremists. This is where they will harvest more of their people.
So how many of these people do you know are operating here? And what are you doing to counteract that as the head of security and intelligence?
Yeah, but there are relatively low numbers of key individuals operating in this state. Many of them may well be known to people, others not so well known. We're also conscious that some hostile states play a role in this, particularly in the online and in the cyberspace.
So do you think hostile states have played a role, for example, in the disturbances on O'Connell Street or in Coolock?
Unlikely in those cases, but certainly we have seen messages online, disinformation messages. It suits certain hostile states who have an interest in undermining trust in the democratic order in a state to undermine trust in government or the agencies of a state. So there are certain elements. Ireland won't be a key focus for them, but they're certainly active in the online space.
Okay, well, let's just leave the hostile states for one second and focus on the extremists who are driving the violence that we've seen on the streets in recent times. Mm. How many are them, and what are we doing about them? Or what are you doing about them?
Well, they're relatively low numbers. So, you know, we're talking about a couple of dozen key people that we have an interest in. As part of our security service obligations, there is close monitoring, surveillance of people. To watch their activities in the online realm as well as in the physical world. Many of them are cautious. They will bring it right to the line, but they won't bring it over the line. Where they have brought it over the line, including in online material, we have made interventions. We have used the Offences Against the State Act in a particular case to deal with an incident in West Dublin. So we are watching closely. We will intervene from a national security perspective once they go over that line. Other than that, then, our function is to support the policing operation of events by supplying intelligence to our policing colleagues.
So these people are still able to operate and cause mayhem, as we saw this weekend or last weekend in Southport in the UK. There's a pattern there, isn't there?
Well, it's from what I know of Southport, it is an interesting case where there was an outrageous event where children were targeted, followed by dissemination of information. Certainly in the case in Dublin, that information was a false narrative to a large degree, and that then encouraged a spontaneous protest activity, which again is all within the legitimate space, and this is the challenge. But then a tipping point comes where that legitimate protest turns into violence. We have to be mindful that as a democratic state, individuals have a right, a freedom of assembly, a freedom of expression, a freedom of thought, conscience, freedom of religion. And the state parties must support those rights. And so it is that monitoring of protest, the majority of which in Ireland, I have to say, is wholly legitimate and within the acceptable parameters for the tipping point. and at the tipping point be ready to make an intervention.
But isn't that the problem? It's the violence and the aggression that's associated with it, the threats to people, the public, Gardaí, journalists, and indeed politicians. I mean, that's a fundamental undermining of the democracy. The threats to people as senior as the Taoiseach, reports that the Taoiseach may have to move out of his home.
Well, I won't comment on any specific issue or any arrangements about any particular case, but what I would say is there has been a redoubling of efforts by the state and all of its agencies in around threat to people in public life. A task force recently reported on that very issue and made some recommendations, many of which have already been implemented by An Garda Síochána. Now, there are recommendations to other agencies. But one of the things we want to ensure is that there is a consistency in our response throughout the country. So there's liaison inspectors in every Garda division. And the other point I would say, Paul, in terms of countering the issue, because social media plays a big part in enabling the behaviour of violent political extremists, is how do we manage that, and how do we manage the false narrative that is out there as a society? It's not all just a policing issue here. So there's been positive developments in Ireland. The establishment of Commissioner Naman and Commissioner Chowcon, the Electoral Commission, will have a function around investigating disinformation, particularly in the electoral space, and there is regulation of social media. The response has to include regulation and enforcement. It has to include the social media companies playing their part and using technology to stop some of this stuff.
But there's evidence that they're not.
I would say some of the bigger providers are slower to that party. Some of the smaller ones are actually keen to get themselves involved. And the final piece, I would say, in terms of dealing with the threat is education. We need a society where people can have the capacity to challenge critically that which they see, as not just simply to accept it as truth. And part of that is support for the regulated and legitimate, if I can use that term, media, so that there is a stronger media, independent and impartial, that there's fact-checking of that which is out online. And I think those elements together are part of the solution. This is a big challenge internationally.
But do you have the legislation to deal with these issues?
Again, it's that curious space because, disinformation is effectively telling lies. There isn't necessarily a breach of the criminal law on telling lies. If there was, there'd be a lot of people in trouble, let's face it. And the ownership of managing disinformation is being considered under a national strategy. It isn't necessarily a policing matter. It is a state matter. And maybe it's important to make the point, we're here to talk about security risks to the state. And Garda Síochána is, in law, a policing and security service. We're effectively the internal service of the state. But government is responsible for national security in its broader sense.
What about hostile state actors? What about, how do you deal with them? Do you have specific dedicated departments set up for particular hostile state actors? And I refer specifically to other countries like Russia.
We do. What I would say about many states spy on each other. That's the way the world works. And they will do that for competitive advantage. They will do that in their own national interest. What we're particularly concerned about is a handful of states who are involved in spying activities on sovereign soil with malign intent, the intent to seek to influence, to create distrust in government, to support extremist groups within a state with that same end goal in mind. They will involve themselves in trying to steal secrets from the state or steal secrets from industry within the state, which undermines the reputation of a country. That activity is of concern. We closely monitor individuals who we believe to be involved in that activity.
Here?
In Ireland. And we work very closely internationally in that regard because a lot of these hostile state agents will move and we work with our colleagues to have an understanding of who might be in our state from time to time and to have to manage entry in and out of the state by people of that nature.
So what countries are you talking about?
I'm cautious in how I answer any of these questions because Ireland maintains diplomatic relations with these countries. And as a consequence, there's also always a degree of caution in what we say. However, if we look at the events in Salisbury in the United Kingdom, if we look at other events in the United Kingdom, we look at events in Europe, and we look at the Russian Federation invasion of Ukraine. I don't think too many viewers would be surprised if I were to say that Russia were one of these states.
So you believe that Russia is a hostile state actor and is possibly involved in espionage in this country?
What I would say is Russia is one of the countries that we have an interest in the general space.
What about China?
China, Ireland has good relations with China. Ireland wants to develop relationships and collaboration with China even further. The EU views China as an economic competitor. You know, I would say China is a huge global superpower as well. Having said that we have good relations with China, China's worldview is a little different from what it is in the Western world. And as a consequence of that, elements of the Chinese Communist Party's foreign policy is of interest to many, if not the majority, of Western intelligence agencies.
And that was Assistant Commissioner Michael McElgunn, who's head of the Garda's Security and Intelligence Bureau, speaking with our crime correspondent, Paul Reynolds. We're back with more after this break.